Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, April 25th, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. After a two-week hiatus, we are back. There's a bit to talk about there. I was out on assignment last week. Jason and Rob were set to take the reins, take the wheel, and pilot the ship. But my boys ran into some technical difficulties last week. Before I get into my side of things, do you guys want to tell us what happened here?
Well, we still don't know. I mean, hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Jason. Wow. Yeah, we got halfway through the show halfway through the intro about three times, and then all of a sudden we couldn't hear each other. So. Little gremlins in our computers were just not friendly that week.
And I've completely thrown my boys off. I'm going to warn you guys. I'll get into my story here in a bit. I am mentally on another planet. I've had a couple of drinks tonight, so I completely bypassed all the intros. And since we're already into the show, I'm not even going to the intros this week. I know it's what you're used to. This is a new season of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We'll get back to regularly scheduled programming next week. But yeah, man, that's crazy. Like, I felt bad because I look forward to, as much as I love doing this with you guys, sometimes when it's just the two of you, some really great stuff happens. And I was looking forward to hearing the two of you just get on here and cook and talk about your WrestleMania experience. The two of you were in Philly you were there in Philly when night one happened, but you were live in attendance for night two. And, a few weeks back before WrestleMania, we promised that you guys would share your story. And we're going to get in on that a little bit later on. But, I'm bummed that we didn't get that episode from you guys last week.
Oh, so are we, man. It was frustrating as hell, but we couldn't. Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't working, so we couldn't keep trying. And
yeah, it reminds me of the original days, like when we first became a three-man weave here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Rob and I originally were recording on an app called Anchor, and I believe that's what part of Google Podcasts now, or it got absorbed into something, and it's not Anchor anymore. I don't even know what it's called. But Rob and I started there, and we used to record directly on the Anchor app. And it was just the two of us. It sounded really good. And then for whatever reason, when we added the third person, we got this lag, we got this delay, and it just it was awful, and it was very frustrating. And it sounds like, you know, that was what you guys were going through last week.
Anchor got absorbed by Spotify, by the way.
That's right, Spotify. Okay. So yeah, kind of when you guys were telling me all the problems you were having, I felt bad because I was, you know, a million miles away from my computer at the time. I was like, oh, these poor guys. And then, you know, and I pride this podcast on, you know, one way or another, you know, if I'm on assignment, Jason or Rob, whichever one of us is not available that week, the other two being able to pick up and keep content regular and, you know, keep our listeners with fresh content every week, and plus providing that for the Chairshot Radio Network. And to not be able to do that kind of is a bummer, you know, for sure, because we've been really consistent over the last almost, believe it or not, guys, we've almost been with, I think it's almost 2 years now we've been with the Chairshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was May of 22 when we officially launched on the Chairshot, and we have been consistent every week since then. And as we record this episode, which is episode 191 of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, to miss a week, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it just, I like this, and I like putting it out every week, and I like having something. So it just, you know, it stinks that that didn't happen, and I feel bad for you guys.
Well, you know what? We did, we missed you, first off. Glad to have you back and back in this three-man weave. And I think that's what, that's just what the doctor ordered. I think that's what the gremlins in our computers wanted. They wanted everybody back together again, and they wanted us to talk about goddamn wrestling. So, this is Rob. Rob, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
This is Rob, the Genius Podcast. DJ, the man with the award-winning beard, our fearless leader, and I am the resident high flyer, the man destined to go through a barbershop window, Jason. We are the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and we're here to talk about wrestling and the current state of wrestling and what we think about wrestling. So, DJ, where do we want to go first?
We can just start off, like I told everybody, I'm in a bit of a weird state. And I know I've talked to you guys privately about my job woes. And that has, there's nothing new on that front. I've been talking a little bit here on this podcast, just in nuggets, because I try not to get too personal. I'm in transition from one job to the next. I took a position at the VA. I was actually interviewed back in at the end of January, and they did tell me that it is a few months long process to get on board. So I did all my onboarding, you know, my background checks, my fingerprinting, drug testing, blood work, all the shit that they asked, all the hoops that they asked me to jump through. I went through all that. And I had a tentative start date for the beginning of April. And so I'm like, okay, that's fine. I've got a date. And I wanted to give my old job enough notice to be either able to replace me or give me enough time to impart all the knowledge that I had on them so that they can, to ensure a smooth transition to me not being there, because I had a lot of responsibility at the old job. 11th hour, the VA decided they were going to go on what they're calling a hiring pause. And this included all new onboarding employees, even those of us who were offered a job, have a job, and are supposed to start. So long story short, I'm sitting in limbo between two jobs. Thankfully, my old job has allowed me to come back per diem. So I'm still employed, which is great. I'm getting a paycheck. I'm probably going to have a lapse in benefits because I'm not full time anymore. I'm per diem and there's no benefits associated with that. So however long this hiring pause lasts, it's going to be what it is until I can get on at the VA and get everything caught back up. So I'm not worried about a loss of income. I am worried about a loss of benefits right now. So there's been a lot of mental stuff going on in my head. And so I took, I ended up with almost 3 weeks of unscheduled vacation. So I took 1 week off, just kind of hoping something would fall through with the VA. And then late last week, the week before, my girlfriend texted me a link to some plane tickets, and she's like, why don't you just go up to Kentucky and visit your dad, because you're going to be out of work for another week. And part of that is because my dad's 70th birthday was last week, but also it was driving her crazy having me home while she's working, because she works from home. So it was driving her crazy with me being here. So, and I feel that because, you know, there's only so much around the house I can do. And so I did that last week. I went up with my dad, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, mentally, I'm in a weird space right now just because I haven't had that much time off in over a decade, like cumulative time off. Like I've taken, you know, weeks here, weeks there, but to have almost 3 solid weeks off was weird. Like I usually take like a 4 or 5 day weekend, or occasionally I'll take a week, but to have 3 solid weeks where I didn't have to answer to an alarm or answer to beholden to anyone's schedule just felt strange. So, you know, I went back to work per diem this week at the old company. I worked Monday through Thursday. I'm taking Fridays off. And, buddy, I got out of shape. Like, I got to the end of the day today. And I was like, what the hell, man? What is this work shit? Like, how did I do this for, you know, almost 50 hours a week for damn near 12 years? So now I'm like, bless you. So now I'm like, so this is what part-time / retirement feels like. And now I've gotten a little bit comfortable and soft. But all in all, it's all good. So, yeah, backup assignment this week, back ready to get the ship back in the water, get this show going. We're going to talk some wrestling. We got a lot going on. We are going to take a brief trip back to the Genius Corner this week. Rob's got a little bit of data for us regarding some, interestingly enough, some AEW stuff. We are going to talk a little bit of AEW here at the beginning of the show, because and I'm not even sure where to lead off with this, because you guys know how I feel about AEW if you've listened to this long enough. I think they've got some bright spots on that roster. They've had some bright spots on their television show and their pay-per-views. But in general, I think AEW as an overall product stinks. And, you know, we had the incident, the blow up with CM Punk several months ago, led to CM Punk getting fired, going back to WWE. And in the last couple of months, we've, you know, had, you know, not only, you know, Jack Perry over in New Japan, you know, taking shots at CM Punk, but the Bucks coming out on AEW programming and showing the actual footage from the last premium live event where, you know, Punk and Jack Perry got in their little scuffle that ended up with Jack Perry in a headlock. So this all culminated, you know, this past Wednesday, last night, in basically, Rob, why don't you take over from here? Cause I've seen it, but I need you to take over from here. Cause I'm like all over the fucking road.
Okay. So, it was the week before, it was a couple of weeks ago. All right, they showed the footage from, was it All In or whichever show?
I think it was All Out, wasn't it?
So it was the one at Wembley Stadium. And it was the backstage footage of Punk and Jack Perry. Of course, and now, of course, they can't even mention Punk by name, because everyone who knows about Chicago Phil knows if you say the wrong shit about him or portray him in the wrong way, you're going to get a phone call and he's taking your ass to court.
He's rather litigious, isn't he?
Yes. Yes. He will take your ass to court really fast. All right. So they showed it and, you know, basically they got bashed all over the place for showing it. And then, you know, the people in the building that night, some people started chanting CM Punk, which is like the last thing you want to happen. Cause you're trying, I mean, they were trying to show that, you know, Punk, the whole point of showing the footage was to show that, you know, I don't know what their motive was, because you would think that it was them trying to show Punk in a bad light, but then at the same time, they're playing heels and
this
stuff.
Well, so, and this week we get the answer as to why they did that.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter what their motivation was. They ended up looking like dorks.
They did.
Yes. And so this week, so then the pay-per-view this past Sunday, Jack Perry helps the Bucks win tag team titles. And so now, and then last night, Jack Perry says, I want to talk to Tony Khan in the ring, you know, out here live. And then so at the end of the show, Tony comes out there and then he beats up Tony Khan, and then he and the Bucks beat up Tony Khan. And it looked really bad.
So let's pause right there. Before we talk about the greater ramifications of this, what this means, what their fans think it means, we have to break the segment down itself.
Oh,
because the segment was awful.
Oh my God.
Hits Tony Khan in the guts lightly with – he had the microphone in his hand and he pops him in the gut. Tony bumps like he got shot in the forehead with a fucking 9mm, right? Tony takes the flat back bump, lays there for a second, and then holds his guts because he remembered, oh, yeah, I got hit in the tummy. I need to sell the tummy.
The first thing I thought of was that one Tough Enough that we've all seen where Triple H is bullying that guy, and he's like, take a bump, flat back. Oh, I can think that. It was just like, what? And it's like, that's the only thing you ever trained to do. Got it. You took one class and you were like, all right, got it. I know, I understand this wrestling thing.
I mean, this was Vince McMahon taking his stunner levels of bad. It may have even been worse.
Yeah. And let's be clear, that's old Vince taking a stunner, because like some of the early ones were really good.
Yeah, but like when he took the one at, it was WrestleMania 38, that one was
right.
Oh my God.
Our buddy Will Mahoney said that he tweeted when that happened, that said, Linda McMahon feels insulted by that. For real.
So they do that. The Bucks come out. They jump Tony Khan. They do their that ridiculous spike tombstone pile driver
that was the worst part of that, is that the one that jumped off the top rope, he couldn't just jump. He did the whole flip routine. You do it like you're supposed to be menacing thugs, and you're doing the whole somersault into a pile driver.
Well, hang on. That's the move. And by the way, it's the TK driver now. It's not the Belcher driver. But to be fair, I hate you both because I'm about to defend the Bucks, but in wrestling physics, the flip just makes the move more powerful.
Yeah, but it looked like shit.
Mortal Kombat physics, the flip is just there to make the move more powerful. And if, frankly, I would tell you it's part of the Meltzer driver. It's the fact that he does the flip.
All right,
When they want an extra set of juice on it, he does the flip.
I'll allow it for kayfabe purposes. But exactly. Here's where the whole thing falls apart. Tony Khan is like a $1.50 soaking wet with two rolls of quarters in his pockets. So he takes this devastating tombstone spike pile driver on his little stack of dimes pencil neck and then gets up and walks assisted out of the ring. This is a stretcher and neck brace spot, my friend. When you are no bigger than Tony Khan is and you're taking this type of move from two guys who are supposed to be these gang thugs, and you get up with assistance and walk out of the ring, get the fuck out of here. Like, stop with this bullshit.
Frankly, you know, if things were different and timelines were different, Vince McMahon would show up to the NFL draft with a neck brace on.
Yeah, he absolutely. I mean, the dude showed up in federal court for the steroid trial with a neck brace on.
Right. Yeah. He was selling it federal. And like, so, of course, if he owned an NFL team, too, and the draft was the next day, absolutely, I'm in that draft room with at least a soft neck brace on.
The beauty of this segment, because it's very much a callback and a throwback to, you know, the start of the NWO when Scott Hall and Razor Ramon attacked Eric Bischoff and powerbombed him through the ramp. Very much a throwback and a callback to that. And somebody tweeted something about how WWE is copying AEW's homework. And I find that ironic when AEW is literally 1999 to 2005 WWE cosplay while simultaneously being run like 2000s WCW. Okay. So you see all this stuff. So you're watching this segment and stripping away my bias, stripping away the fact that the segment was just horribly enacted. Okay, that's the only word that I can put for it. It was really bad high school cinema, high school theater.
Yeah.
It, for their audience, for what they're trying to do with Jack Perry and what they're hoping he's going to turn into, it was a pretty cool piece of business for them. The problem that I have is I don't buy any one of those three of the four of those, because his name just fell out of my head.
Okada.
Sorry. Okada, I find, aside from the fact that he's not a super huge guy, but a lot of those guys from Japan aren't, I cannot take the Bucks and Jack Perry as tough guys serious. Like, I watched this little promo that they did backstage, and they're just talking, and I'm looking at these guys, and I'm like, for me to believe in what you're doing, I need to believe that you can at least kick my ass, okay? And not a one of these three guys come across to me like they could kick my ass. So if you're expecting me to believe that this is going to be your dominant NWO-esque faction moving forward, brother, I need more. And these guys, these the three of the four ain't it.
Well, but I mean, because their act has always been based on, you know, like their fan base just buying what they're selling.
Well, and that's what I mean when I say it's a good piece of business, because their fans are going to eat it up.
Yeah, and it's perplexing because, I mean, the people in the building were, you know, they were chanting for Jack Perry, and I can't imagine chanting for somebody whose big selling point is he got his ass kicked backstage.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because they were, at one point, people in the building were saying, "Oh, cry me a river," you know, which is what he said on the video, you know, the
Yeah. Point.
And I'm like, wait, like, seriously? Like we're celebrating this? This guy got, I mean, but it's one of those things. There's a disconnect, and it's one of those things where you got to kind of throw your hands up and say, well, you know what, their people get it. Or their people, you know, but their problem is always that there's that section of people, their kind of hardcore audience that gets everything they do. And they've been with those guys since they were doing indie shows and all that. And so they get all the inside baseball and all the, you know, all the inside jokes that people like us don't get. And so they get all of that stuff and they eat it up. And then there's everybody else. And everybody else, we're all just kind of sitting here like, well, this shit sucks. Okay. But then
it was terrible. Yeah. Like, the segment was objectively terrible.
Yeah, it was absolutely, yes. There was nothing well done. I mean, it was all bad. And the thing about it, and it sucks because they completely for the first time ever, everyone, I paid money for an AEW pay-per-view and I watched it. Okay. Cause they put it on Fight TV, which means I didn't have to order pay-per-view and I didn't have to use Bleacher Report Live, which.
What was it, still $50?
Yeah.
I have Fight TV and I can't drop $50 on them.
I had to see Brian and Ospreay. I had to see.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about that briefly because there's a correlation between that show and what they're doing on a weekly basis. And we talked about this a little bit on the kickoff show before we went live. That seems to be AEW's core problem is Tony's really good at booking good wrestling matches. Like, you know, Rob was saying, we got, you know, Will Ospreay and Claudio, you know, a week and a half ago or a week ago, and it was really freaking good. I saw some clips from it, and there was some slick shit pulled off there. And then we got Daniel Bryan and Ospreay again this weekend. But apparently there were also some other pretty good matches on that card, Rob.
Yeah, and so it was a from start to finish, it was a good show. Because they started off with Okada wrestled Pac, and WWE fans, y'all, Pac, y'all will know as Neville. They had a really good match to start things off, and you know, then there was Willow Nightingale, who some of y'all might be familiar with. She's really fun to watch. She won the TBS title from Julia Hart, and a little fun little fact here. When I went to Ring of Honor Final Battle back in 2021, one of the matches there was Willow Nightingale against Roxanne Perez. And so she won the TBS title. That was a fun moment. And then they had a 6-man tag with, it was like, the House of Black against Edge and Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. And that match was a little bit long, but the finish was really slick because, Edge was going for the spear, and then Malakai Black got him with the green mist in the face, and then hit him with the black mask, and 1, 2, 3.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm had a good match, and they were like slamming the hell out of each other. I mean, it was a really
good match. I saw bits and pieces from that. It looked like a hell of a good match.
Yeah. I mean, they had a really good physical match there. And then Ospreay and, you know, Daniel Bryan it was everything that, you know, was promised. Now, of course, look, I mean, saying it's the best match in America ever is hyperbole, of course.
Of course it is.
But, I mean, that was, I mean, man, it was worth the $50 to watch just for that.
Yeah.
It was. I'll say it was. It was outstanding. And, you know, I mean, Ospreay, because he gets, if you let him get carried away with shit, he will. But he was in there with somebody who knows how to keep the crazy shit under control. And so he did. And I mean, it was just outstanding. And he didn't even do it, like, there wasn't a whole lot of flipping. They were hitting the shit out of each other with like stripes and stuff, man. It was worth watching the show.
Delivered as advertised, huh?
Yeah.
Good.
And so they did all of that. And then, you know, and then you follow it up with this stinker of a show on Wednesday.
Tony can't book compelling TV. And I want to switch over to, I want to kick it over to Jason here because, you know, Rob and I have said our piece and we're both probably more critical of AEW than Jason in general. But Jason, this angle that they did with Perry and the Bucks, is this compelling you to want to watch this, or did this kind of turn you off?
No, like, dude,
did it stink?
Are you kidding me? This is the core reason I don't like this is the reason I regret watching, if I ever regret watching. It's so far up its own ass inside baseball.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I don't care. Just wash your hands of the whole CM Punk situation. We don't have to create this poor person eat NWO like bullcrap, like you against the machine. I don't care, man. Like, he's like, it, I don't know. At least Vince McMahon, I could be like, okay, yeah, he is kind of probably an evil dude in real life, so I could root for this. Like, I don't know. TK, you're just a dork. So, like, I want to
get out. You guys basically went out and bullied a nerd for his lunch money.
Right. Like, and I'm just like, I don't want to see the nerd, like, put together a team of Avengers to stop these guys, because it's literally, I'm just literally watching the dude play action figures. And yeah. I know I am with Vince McMahon too, but I don't know. It's just more in your face with this.
Well, and I just, doing like the, also, like, the baby face, like, owner Booker against the, you know, heel faction
talent.
It defies logic, because why wouldn't you just fire them?
Well, and, yeah.
No, you fired Punk for what we saw happen.
Right,
you fired Punk for choking Jack Perry out.
I posted that on Twitter earlier today because Tony Khan came out and said he feared for his life. Okay.
Yeah.
In a segment he wasn't even physically involved in, he feared for his life. And then 4 months later goes out and does an angle on live TV where he gets taken out.
He gets assaulted.
What are we doing? He's assaulted.
He takes a pile driver.
What are we doing?
Yeah, like, because back in the day, back in the old Mid-South, Bill Watts was the booker, and he was feuding with the Freebirds. And, I mean, and look, they executed the stuff really well, so it was fun to watch. But when you thought about it, it was like, okay, these three guys are coming out there, they're doing run-ins, they're beating people up, they're assaulting people. And they beat Bill Watts up a few times also. Why wouldn't he fire them?
Well, I mean, we could argue the same thing about McMahon and Austin. And McMahon was a heel, but McMahon made it very well known he was the owner of the company. McMahon could have just looked at Austin and said, you know what, you're a menace at work, you're fired.
Well, I guess.
Well, but also, never in those days, the line was never so thin. Like, we know. Tony's talking about, like, his Twitter at is on his little, like, thing when it says, like, AEW owner, Tony Khan, the little nameplate at the bottom of the screen when he first shows up.
Yeah.
It says it's like, it's all part of the show. So like, we know all this stuff.
But also.
So it's not the same as it was with Bill Watts.
Well, but also, like, the evil business owner saying, I hate this guy, but he makes me money, so I'm going to keep him here.
This is true. And Vince actually said that. Because he actually made that part of the story on TV one time.
That's believable. The babyface owner booker isn't supposed to carry on like that.
Right.
No. Like he's supposed to be the guy who's trying to protect the talent and all of that.
Yeah. So
the babyface owner slash booker would fire the people.
Kind of like he did CM Punk.
Yes.
And now as I like to talk about all the time, you've established that in you're on your TV show. Like, you can't even skirt around that. You've now put that right on your TV show. I fired this guy because of this.
Yeah, like he came out and said it on TV that he fired him. So it's part of the canon. It's not just something that happened
right.
In real life.
Part of the canon. I fired CM Punk for not assaulting me, but I'm not going to fire Jack Perry and the Bucks for assaulting me. Gotcha. Yeah.
Whereas there's a reason that 90% of the time when they fire somebody in WWE and they're in the middle of a segment or a middle of a program or whatever, they just carry on like nothing happened. Because then that person can just come back in 2 years, 3 years, whatever, with whatever story they goddamn want.
Yeah.
But now, if CM Punk ever comes back, well, good luck. Well, I mean, obviously, you can figure that out in 2 seconds, but seriously, it's part of your canon now.
Yeah. I guess, as Jay would say, we should watch it like Nanas and play along. But I'm looking.
Well, and like you said, hold on. That's because one of the things we say on this show is just watch the show, right?
Right.
Don't pay attention to the bullshit online and all that stuff. But even now, if you just watch the show,
they made CM Punk getting fired part of the show.
Yeah,
this is why, you know, when we say stuff that makes sense, we're not talking like complicated. We're talking about basic sense,
right? Like basic human sense.
Like when we complained about Damian Priest not cashing in the briefcase when Seth Rollins was dead, right?
Yeah,
didn't make sense.
That's not us. That wasn't us overcomplicating things. That was basic logic that didn't fit.
Yeah, he had at least a dozen opportunities where him and his gang of thugs could have come out and politely relieved Seth Rollins of the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
And they didn't.
And because I mentioned it on Twitter once, a guy said, well, he waited for the biggest stage to do it. And I was like, well, what the hell are you doing that for? Like, why are you waiting? Right? You know, but look, when stuff doesn't make basic sense, okay, yeah, I mean, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right. Again, not three-dimensional chess and us, you know, overcomplicating things. Like we're not turning this into Mission Impossible. You know,
right.
When you don't make basic sense, it's a problem. And this doesn't make basic sense. The fact that they beat the shit out of him, he's not going to fire them. And again, and he, like you said, he both in real life and in kayfabe, he fired a guy for making things unsafe backstage.
And publicly said on live TV, I feared for my life.
Right. So
TV show, not on a press release, not on a, you know, not a media scrum, not on Twitter, Arnie opened the TV show with "I feared for my life." That's AEW canon in kayfabe.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's part of the story. It's not just some real life legal situation or whatever. So
that's crazy to me. I'm sorry. As bad as that segment was, they've done
stuff like that in the past with like legal situations. Like this is like Michael Cole will just say something and whatnot. They don't then show the footage from the same thing like 4 months, 5 months, whatever months later.
Yeah. I would say for the week-to-week TV stuff, yes, AEW has some incredible professional wrestlers on their roster putting out some incredible professional wrestling matches. And given the fact that WWE has a style, WWE a lot of times has their people kind of pull it back a little bit. AEW lets its people go more full tilt more often, probably sometimes to their own detriment and health, but yeah, it is what it is. You can argue that as a wrestling show, keyword wrestling, AEW is putting out some stuff that may be better than WWE, but I'm sorry, after Monday night and with everything that I've seen from that company as a week-to-week episodic television show, I defy you to look at me with a straight face and tell me that that company is better than WWE. After the crap.
They're not better run for sure.
No. And you know, and you watch that, and now you've got people like Ryan Satin online just hyperbole to the max, comparing this to the NWO with no point of reference. It's like, did you even watch during that era?
Yeah, I forget who it was. It was either one of you. But you had the biggest star of the decade in the NWO.
Yes.
Coupled by two of the biggest stars of their time.
Right.
Yes.
You know? And like, dude, I'm sorry, comparing Jack Perry and Nick and Matt Jackson to Hulk Hogan and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, I fundamentally do not understand what you are seeing. I cannot view that through your eyes.
I tell you what, I don't know who said it, but I want to use the line because I don't want it to get lost. I don't know what to tell you guys, who's going to join this faction, but Roman Reigns is not walking through that door.
No.
Put it this way, if they wanted to do a modern, if they wanted to do a 2024 version of the NWO, Seth and Roman would have to come over, and then Mox would have to join them as the third guy.
Yes, that is the only way you're pulling that off. Because I'm sorry, the Bucks and Jack Perry, yes, for their show, they're big stars. But prior to that, they existed in a bubble on the internet. If the internet did not exist, I would have no idea who the three of them were. Hulk Hogan was one of the most recognizable celebrities, not even just wrestler, celebrities of the late 90s. And for you to sit there and say that this is because, and you know, to use verbiage like, oh, the elite literally changed the industry. In what way did these guys actually change the industry and make it better? Like, so, somebody please break that down for me.
All right, we're going too long on this.
Oh, we've already talked way too long.
They're terrible. Yeah, I mean, it's just a non-issue.
Yeah.
It's just another, it's, I mean, in the rating, you know, it, and they didn't even pop a rating. I'm sorry, I don't care if it wasn't live on the West Coast. Rob is going to hit me with all these numbers and whatnot. But still, I don't care. Numbers say they didn't pop a rating. So, like, And I don't know how many more times we're going to do this. CM Punk was the only outlier. Rob's been over this a billion times. Mercedes was not it. Daniel goddamn Bryan wasn't it. So it's they have to change how they produce their show.
I remember a certain jerk off from New York assuring everybody that WWE was dead because Jon Moxley showed up at AEW's very first pay-per-view. And here we are almost 5 years later, and he hasn't moved a goddamn dime.
All right, so...
But that's not unfair. But I think Moxley definitely legitimized them from the beginning.
He did, him being there. But this hyperbole that WWE was finished because John Moxley showed up. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, you should have, no one should have ever believed that anyway.
No, but even still, like they, like Mercedes showed up, they pop a rating 1 week, maybe, but even then, it's more of a bump than anything. And then it's right back to business as usual. So now,
out of the people that they brought in this year, Ospreay is legitimately giving them something as far as, you know, increasing the audience and all of that when he's out there. He's been a good pickup for them from that standpoint. But everyone else so far, the thing with Mercedes is she hasn't gotten in the ring yet. And, you know, we're like on week 7 of her coming out talking.
And that's part of the problem.
Holy shit.
Yeah. She is taking a beating for Monday night's promo with her and Willow. I'm online and I didn't see it, but apparently it was not good.
I did. It was not great. Willow was great. Willow is awesome. Willow, as Madeline put it, is just sunshine in human form.
Yes.
But Mercedes, has she gotten worse at promo?
You know what it is? It's when she was in WWE, they kept it under control. Like when her and Bayley did the Golden Role Models, if you look back now, Bayley did most of the talking.
Yeah.
And in WWE, they aren't shy about it. They had scripts for a long time. And at the very least, they'd have cliff notes of like, okay, you're going to talk about this, you're going to talk about this, and then you're going to put over the pay-per-view, and then you're going to fight this person.
And then I guess the other thing is that her persona and demeanor and all that is on TV is heelish. It always has been.
Yeah.
It's not just me being biased, but honestly, the only time I really think that she was able to be a convincing babyface was when she was feuding with Charlotte.
Yeah.
So I want to share this because I finally was able to put it into words. I think I mentioned this on the show a couple days ago, but I finally figured it out. Even when she's a baby face, it sounds like everything she's saying is a lie. I don't know what it is. It's her cadence. It's the way she enunciates. It's something. Everything it sounds like she's lying. Everything she's saying. I'm like, that's the disconnect for me.
Well, it's like she's supposed to be a baby face, but then, you know, in WWE, of course, she was the boss and now she's the CEO. Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm all this and I'm all that and I'm so great and, you know, but I'm also a baby face and it just.
Right.
Yeah. It's her character lends itself to being more effective as a heel, just like Charlotte. You know, Charlotte's incredible. I think Charlotte's a much better heel than a baby face.
Oh, well, she'll tell you that herself. I mean.
Yeah. I'll watch Charlotte and in any way, shape or form I can get her. But to actually enjoy Charlotte's work. I need her as a heel.
Sasha Banks was good to phenomenal as a heel.
Yes.
So we got to give her flowers on that. If that's where you got to live, man, that's where you got to live. Hey, that's where Seth Rollins has to live. So.
Yeah. Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, he has to live more even in his last babyface run, he hasn't been playing it exactly like a good guy. You know,
he could kind of live on the edge a little bit.
And also, he's helped out by the song and all that as a babyface.
Right. Because exactly. Now
people have something to cheer regardless.
Yep. But even I'll admit, being the biggest Seth Rollins mark in the room, I'm a much bigger fan of his heel work.
Right. Yeah. And but Mercedes' best character presentation was probably in NXT. And she was a full-blown heel there, and they weren't towing the line or anything.
Yeah.
But when she got to the main roster again, like, when she was feuding with Charlotte, that was, like, really the only time. I mean, people cheered her because they like her, right?
Right, right.
But as far as convincing people, being a babyface, getting people to cheer you but because of what you're saying or doing on the television show, right. The only time she really worked as a babyface was when she was feuding with Charlotte. And here, so, you know, there are people cheering because she's Mercedes and she's the big star and blah, blah, blah. But then again, when you put her in there next to Willow is the epitome of, Willow is a walking baby face. If you want a baby face wrestler for your women's roster, Willow Nightingale is exactly the kind of person you should get. Okay. I mean, she has the big $1 million smile, just like Bianca. Okay. I mean, So it's hard. I mean, it'd be hard for anybody to just stand next to her in the ring doing a promo thing and be convincing as a babyface. And so in Mercedes's case, it just doesn't work very well. And she needs to get in the ring. And yeah, I mean, they are where they are with her until she gets in the ring.
All right. Well, I think we can probably move on from AEW. We've said a lot. We had a lot to say there. But, you know, this was – I feel bad. This should have been a big week for them. They had apparently it was a great pay-per-view on Sunday that shit the bed by Wednesday because Tony can't book a weekly TV show. I don't know that this whole new thing that they're doing with Jack Perry and the Bucks is really going to gain any traction. We'll see. It might. There might be people that look at this and say, okay, let's see what they're doing here. Some people who didn't really get to experience the birth of the NWO in real time may look at this through a different set of optics than we do. They may look at this and go, you know what, this is cool. And, you know, maybe they'll think that these three guys are cool enough to make it work for them. I can tell you just in what little bit I've seen and the fact that AEW has not won me over anyway, it's a no for me. But for the people they're trying to appease, maybe it'll work.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. So before we move further into the Mindless Wrestling Podcast season, we got to finalize, wrap up, if you will, WrestleMania. My two co-hosts here had the pleasure and the honor of being live at WrestleMania Night 2 in Philly. They did spend the weekend together for the most part. Rob went to Ring of Honor on Friday night, and I believe we talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We
talked about the Ring of Honor show, and we talked about WrestleMania at great length. But what I wanted to let you two, and I'm going to back off, I'm going to let you guys take the floor here because you were there, is just talk about the whole WrestleMania weekend experience, you guys getting together, you guys doing, you know, your thing, you know, all up until, you know, you guys, you know, hugged and said goodbye when it was all said and done.
Oh, man. Well, it was quite the weekend. I mean, Rob got in and did the Ring of Honor thing, and then we got in on Saturday. And we got right to the bar and where they were showing NXT and met Rob at the bar. And we started, you know, right then and there with wrestling. We watched Stand and Deliver, which was fun because the NCAA tournament was also on. So like March Madness and wrestling and just watching the NXT show as if it was just another sport and other people were watching, you know, just other things was very funny to me. That place was a lot of fun and NXT was an awesome show, but we talked about the show already. I don't really have much to say about that day.
Well, yes, because, you know, Saturday.
No.
Because, you know, I mean, y'all know that if y'all listen to this show, y'all know that I've been very distraught since December.
Yeah.
And that I considered not going to this thing at all, you know, because my favorite woman wrestler was not going to be able to perform on the show. And, you know, I almost bailed on the whole thing. But they did the VIP. They announced, you know, that, oh, they're having VIP meet and greet type of things, and they announced her for one of them. So I figured, okay, well, she won't be wrestling there. That sucks, but I can, you know, I can do the VIP meet and greet thing, and that'll be cool. And then also, you know, and then, you know, so between that and then, you know, The Rock being there, and the fact this is close to home as WrestleMania is ever going to be for me, I said, okay, I'm just going to do this. And so Saturday morning, you know, I did have the pleasure of meeting the 14-time women's champion. And
Rob, I gotta put a pin in this for me, because Rob has had some really cool meet and greets this year. Like, he met Charlotte over WrestleMania weekend. Then you met Hayden Christensen and, God bless her name,
was it Rosario?
Rosario Dawson. When did you? Was that January or February?
That was in February, I think.
February. And it was great too, because Hayden's kind of standing there, and Rosario's got like her arm. If you've seen the picture, it's great, because she's got Rob's arm in like a little hug here, and I'm totally jealous over this fact, because Rosario was looking fine. She had a hat on, and she's like all into Rob's arm, and then Hayden's kind of standing there like, yep, he didn't come to see me. He came to see Rosario Dawson.
let me tell you, man. I could have run through a concrete wall after taking that's about how charged up I was.
It's been 2.5 months and Rob still hasn't watched his right. He hasn't washed his right arm yet.
I mean, okay. I mean, yeah. You know, but
Rob, quick, yeah, quick reaction, Rob. Jaden, yes. Daniels. How do you feel?
Yay.
All right.
That's who we're rooting for. We're talking about the NFL draft, folks.
Is that your QB? Is that your quarterback?
Yep.
Okay. The Washington Commanders just drafted Jaden Daniels from LSU, a quarterback from LSU, with the second pick in the first round of the NFL draft. Up on the clock next with the third pick, my New England Patriots. Stay tuned.
Yeah. And so now when I got this, so this was at like the WWE World thing, and so, you know, went in there, and when I got in there, they were like doing like the last, it was the last about 10 minutes of the, it was like a panel discussion about the Bray Wyatt documentary. And so, Big E was there with Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda, and they were talking. And then the Undertaker came out there and sat down for a few minutes, and they were all, you know, swapping stories and whatnot. And that was pretty cool.
You got some pictures from that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then, so then as we were all getting in line, like Charlotte came out there, did like a, you know, she did like a little Q&A for a little bit also. And, you know, then she came up and took the pictures with all of us, and, you know, and that just made my whole day. Cause.
I'm glad you got to see that, because literally if you've listened to the show for any length of time, when Charlotte went out with her knee injury, Rob, this being his favorite superstar, had legitimately checked out on this year's Rumble. When word got out that it was going to be a minimum 9 months of Charlotte Flair being gone and she was not going to make Mania, Rob, he tapped out. He's like, you know what? There's the biggest reason for me to go is now off the card. And so he didn't have that. And then Jason, in the last, literally the last month or two before WrestleMania, you kind of started leaning on him a little bit more.
Yeah.
And talked him into going. So I'm glad you got at least the meet and greet out of that.
Yeah, and so it was really nice. It was cool.
So how was that WWE World? Was that like almost like a walking museum or?
Yeah, it's kind of like a museum / kind of Comic Con kind of setup. They had a bunch of little exhibits and all types of stuff, and then, you know, the WWE Superstore was like right next in the same facility. And so it was all right there. It was pretty easy to get to. And one thing about the way they had things set up in Philly was great, because everything was close by. Like, yeah, nothing was way out of town or whatever.
I told you guys when it got announced, pretty much, I said, we're going. Not just because we could drive there, which we did, but like the setup of that city is so awesome for sports and so awesome for everything in terms of just like going to an event there.
Yeah. And so I finished up there and then I went over to meet Jason and Emily. And then that's where we watched the NXT Stand and Deliver. And so then from there, we went to another bar to watch Night One.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was.
We did the Museum of Art. So we did the infamous Rocky Steps, me and Emily. So that was a lot of fun. I wanted to get some of the touristy stuff we did in there. And then we got together for Night One.
Yeah.
Because we did not have tickets.
Jason, did you and Em go to WWE World or did you skip out on that?
We went to the Superstore with Rob the next day.
Okay.
So we went the next morning, that's when we met up with good old, TQ Sherwood, Tom. Of Twitter fame and around wrestling circles, so we met up with a few of our buddies over there. So it was cool to see everybody and and Rob, what was that place called? The place we met up.
Sunday morning. The market.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, Terminal Market.
Yeah, right? And it was Terminal. Yes, and we ran into our buddy Tom Sherwood, who you guys, some of you guys know from Twitter.
Yeah. That's what I was just saying. So we ran into Tom, and that's one of those kind of like, it used to be like a bus station or something now, but now it's just got turned into, well, I imagine a train terminal. But anyway, it got converted. It's one of those open air, or not open air, but like just open markets. You know, there's a barbecue place and then an ice cream stand and then like, you know, occasionally a trinket store or something, but mostly restaurants. And markets. Kind of stuff. And, so it was so much good food.
Oh yeah, man. And any of y'all, any of you listeners are from Baltimore, familiar with Baltimore, there's a place in Baltimore called Lexington Market. It's the same type of setup.
Yeah, they have something in New York City that's called Skyline. The Skyline, which I think it's called the Skyline or Highline, one of the two. It's I haven't been there in like 13 years, so I kind of forget. But yeah, it's a similar type of thing.
Since we're all doing the shout out in Boston, it would be our Faneuil Hall. So. Okay. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Night one was kind of a blur because we started drinking early and we didn't stop Saturday. Because we met up at a brewery and like that was where we watched the NXT show. So that was like, and Emily and I already parked our car where it was going to be parked for the rest of the night or the rest of the weekend, I should say. We started early that day. It was a wild ride.
Oh yeah, we drank in the afternoon and then we drank some more at when we watched Night One.
The best part
was like Sunday was the best because we were sitting there and we were like, oh, I don't want to drink yet. You know, that was rough. We finally got to the big entertainment plaza, Xfinity Live, which is, right in the middle of where all their sports parks are. So we were about to go in, and we were going to watch everything there. We'll get to who we saw there in a minute. But my favorite, I don't want to miss telling this story. It's like, I don't want to drink. Finally, Emily and I go grab a beer. And we're like, all right, feeling good, ready to rock and roll. And then Rob's just like, I don't know. And all of a sudden I turn around and the man's got a shot in his hand. And he's just, all of a sudden it's gone, and I just go, oh, okay, apparently he's ready to rock and roll.
I guess this is what we're doing. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
But yeah, man, night one was pretty rough because we started and did not stop, and I have not done that in a long time.
Oh, me neither. Trust me, it's been probably college since I drank that much all in like one day.
You had to shoot bear out there day drinking and night drinking and
I handled it better this time because back when I did that when I was in college at one point I you know But when you drink too much cheap liquor, you end up rolling around on the floor laughing hysterically and nobody's telling any jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that might happen to you.
Right? Exactly. But night one was fun. The bar we were at was pretty fun. The crowd was good. Everybody was into the show. I don't know. I felt the same kind of deflation at certain points when other people did. I don't want to like mull over the dark spots, but I don't know. For instance, the Usos match, like we can all.
This is more about the experience. We already talked about
that. Yeah, no, I just want to say, like, but you could feel it with the crowd we were at, too.
Got the energy in the room. Gotcha. Yeah,
you could feel the energy in the room just kind of go down. It's just like, even no matter who everyone was rooting for, and everyone was rooting for a different brother, it was pretty 50-50. But, yeah, it was a fun night. So.
All right.
And we went out to... Did we do anything eventful aside from going to the Superstore on Sunday?
Well, you guys did, but I went back to the room and I fell asleep because the bed, my hotel bed was way too soft and I hate soft beds. So Friday night I slept on the couch in the hotel room but then Saturday night I said, well, I'm going to try the bed. Okay. And that was a mistake. So I didn't sleep very well. So then we did breakfast Sunday morning and then and you guys were saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I was like, oh, hell no.
we clocked in and we walked, I think like 8 miles or something that day.
Yeah.
Cause Jason's married to a damn athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, but hey man, I agree with her. The best way to see a city is on your feet.
Yep. Oh, and dude, yeah. When I lived in New York, I'd walked every fucking where.
Well, yeah. And Philly is such a walkable city. Like, I'm stressing you, the listener, if you go to it. Oh, quarterback, Drake May. Okay. Anyway, so the – oh, great. Another white dude. Oh, whatever. Let's see here. we'll stop at every single park or, like, you know – monument or art, piece of art or museum or whatever that we see when we're walking around a city. And Philly has them like every block. So Philly is an awesome city to walk around. So, so then we went to Xfinity Live. And as I've laid out before, Xfinity Live is the best because it's the big mall of bars with a big bar in the middle. That is in the very center of a huge parking lot that is anchored at three corners by the place where the who plays there? The Flyers and the Sixers play, and then where the Eagles play, and then where the Phillies play. All in the same park. It's amazing. So obviously WrestleMania was there. And we were there just in the middle bar, and that's when I saw Rob all of a sudden getting himself liquored up, and I was like, all right, we're here to party. And then all of a sudden, the 2001 A Space Odyssey music starts playing and with the drums, and we're looking around, and everyone's doing, of course, woo! And we look up, and Rick, by God, Flair is here, and he's doing apparently some interview. And then later he comes out and gives a toast, a rambling, beautiful toast to everybody in attendance.
He was fucking hammered.
he was shit-faced. I'm not even going to say two ways about it. Sorry, we have a large sample size of knowing what Ric Flair's like when he's, you know, messed up. And also, I've been messed up a time or two in my life. That man was messed up.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, my wife's favorite line was when he says, well, girls, you sure as hell can't be first, but if you're lucky, you can be last. Woo! And my wife was rolling with that line.
That is awesome.
The audacity of that man knows no bounds, which is incredible. Yeah.
He is the Ozzy Osbourne of professional wrestling, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, man, but at one point we were, yeah, we were about like 10 feet from the Nature Boy. It was pretty fun.
That's neat. That's neat.
So then we went into WrestleMania, and I saw this little boy who had the best sign ever. It said, Cody Rhodes will never finish the story, and I got a picture with him, and it was the coolest I've seen all weekend, because that little man was awesome.
So how was it getting in there? Like, was it pretty streamlined, or did you have to, did it take you a while to get in and get to your seats?
It's getting up.
Because we're talking almost 70,000 people here.
Yeah, when we're in upper deck, it sucked.
Yeah.
It
sucked
our seats, man.
Getting up,
it sucked getting out, and it was, I definitely remembered why the last like four times we've been to a show there, we got a hotel like right by the arena, because wow. But in any case, like getting in and getting out was a pain in the rear. But I gotta say, the stadium's pretty nice. I like the link.
Yeah. We forgot. On our way to the stadium, we ran into somebody outside the hotel.
Oh yeah, that's right. We called our Uber. And all of a sudden, we were about to jump in, and he had just pulled up. And all of a sudden, Rob looks over my shoulder and says, "Rob."
Oh,
Rob, like, that's your line.
Oh, I'm sorry. is that Kofi Kingston?
And I turn and I go, "I think that is Kofi Kingston." And we rode the lightning of like, "Oh wait, is he with his family? He totally is." But he's like, being really open and like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" to these other people who, so like we, and I was just like, you know what? Our Uber's here. I ran over and I just gave him a fist bump. I caught his attention for 1 second and I said, "Hey man, huge fan. Thank you for everything." And gave him a fist bump and like walked away. Cause I was like, you know what? I'm not going to spurn this opportunity, but I'm also not going to, you know.
Normally, I'm going to pause you there for a second. Normally, I think we've spoken how we feel about, you know, just running up to these guys willy nilly on the street, especially when they're with their family. But this is WrestleMania. These guys have got to expect that this is going to happen at that time of year.
And it wasn't like he was not making himself unknown. He was, you know, very engaging and very he was stopping and like he was talking to somebody. He was not making it. He was making it very clear that he was okay to talk, apparently. That's what I read from his body language. So I was like, you know what? No harm, no foul. I'm going to run in. I got my fist bump and I'm out of here. And Rob, I think he just waved and got a head nod and we were good. We did not want to take any more of that man's time, but goddamn, we met Kofi Kingston, friend of the family, Kofi Kingston.
Friend of the family, friend of the podcast, Kofi Kingston. That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, friend of the family, Dijak, friend of the podcast, Dijak. You know, we got a lot of friends.
That's right. We're very connected with WWE, not really.
We settled in to our seats. And wow, I don't know if we really talked about it with the match, with the whole night, but I rode a roller coaster of emotions, and holy shit, that was one of the coolest live experiences I've ever had in my life.
I bet the entrances were amazing.
In a horrible mood. Like, in a horrible mood. And I still look back and I go, that was still one of the best live experiences I've ever been to in my life. And he's head and shoulders best WrestleMania I've been to, and best WrestleMania, I will put it this way, best WrestleMania of my experience, like in terms of ones I've lived through. I'm not going to say anything. I've seen a lot of the other old ones, but I didn't see them live. So I can't put myself in that situation, the same situation as being in the goddamn seat.
Okay, for me, I mean, that's definitely the best wrestling show I've ever attended. Second out was the 1990 Great American Bash, where Sting won the world title.
I am so jealous of the fact that you and the lawyer Dave Ungar, one, were both there, and just, it just blows my mind that you guys were both there at the same time.
That's crazy, man. It is. But this is, yeah, this is, it's the best show that I've ever attended, without a doubt. And look, as far as, you know, people saying best Mania ever, you know, we got to wait and see how things hold, you know, we got to check back in a year or two and see how we're looking back on the show then, before we say something like that. Now I say out of all the night twos, it's definitely the best night two.
Yeah.
Since they've gone to the two nights, it's definitely the best night two.
Well, and I would even say it was the best one that was structured as a two-night show. Like, night one wasn't the best show, Right, and in terms of being a two-part WrestleMania, I think it was structured the best. Yes, unfortunately, it is going to be a little top-heavy when it comes to, you know, the biggest match to ever big. But I think the balance was really good.
Yeah, and now, man, now Nick Khan said that this is probably that, you know, going to an open air stadium in the Northeast for WrestleMania is probably not going to happen again.
Well, I'll tell you why, motherfuckers.
Because there was cold shit in there, man.
And you guys didn't even go on the cold night.
Those last two matches, let me tell you, man, I'm from Boston, but Rob's from the Baltimore. We're not strangers to the cold.
No.
But holy shit. That was a cutting wind that was coming through us at the last minute. And I was wearing gloves and a hat.
I had no gloves. Because it was a crazy thing. Like earlier that day, it was like 60 degrees.
You can't be fooled by that, Rob. The sun goes down, and especially this time of year, once the sun goes down, it's
anybody's game. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We could hit single digits and not blink.
I mean, it was cold up there. Right. I mean, and so, yeah, like honestly, once it got to be later on in the show, I was just like, can we please just get to the main event so we can get the fuck out of here? I just want to see the main event so we can get the hell out of here.
The shoot bear's instincts kicked in and he wanted to hibernate in the cold.
Yeah. And
hang on, but a couple of highlights. The cash in was fucking bonkers. That being there live for the cash in was almost cooler than being there live for the main event. And I'm not just saying that because of the result, but that was like a fun moment.
It was. And in the main event, man, it was crazy. And because Jimmy comes out and then Jay takes him out, and then, you know, Solo comes out there, and then Cena gets him out of there, and then Rock takes Cena out of there. And so, you know, people in my section, you know, our section were chanting for Austin to come out there. But then when the lights went out, you know, the whole place went up because everybody knew what that meant, right?
And then the gong hit.
Yeah. And I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, that, man.
That's crazy.
And look, I've never seen Undertaker live before. That's my first time. Yeah, I've never been to it because, I didn't go to any shows during the Attitude Era. I didn't go to any, like, Raws or anything back then. So I never seen him live in person, you know, until then. And man, that was something else, man. You know,
that's cool.
Yeah. And, now once the match was over, now I was ready to go. And, you know, I turned into Bob Senior. Okay. Cause you know, my dad, like, when the important stuff is over, he's out the door. Okay. And that's how he would be. And he would tell everybody, look, we're leaving. we're going. Okay.
Rob Senior ain't sticking around for the Marvel post credit scenes.
No. So I got out of my seat. I went down to like the aisle, and I texted you a couple of times, dude. I was like, dude, if we go now, we can beat the crowd. And I got no answer, and I was like, oh shit.
I'm just sitting there. I just sitting there, like, sitting in my seat, just kind of slumped, looking.
He couldn't read his phone screen through the
glasses. Like getting a little misty eye, just looking. I'm just looking. Like, I'm dead serious, dude. I'm just sitting there, just like, I feel like a Mack truck of emotion just ran over me right now. Because I'm genuinely, like, even as mad as I was at the moment, like, I was genuinely happy for Cody, and it's like, he is one of my favorite dudes, as much as I hate admitting it, like, and I've been calling this moment ever since All In happened. I've been like, yeah, this is going to look good at WrestleMania, and he's going to probably, you know, light the world on fire. The American Nightmare was made for WrestleMania. You kidding me? Came out with the goddamn skull mask and everything. Oh man. But I'll tell you, when the choir was coming and when Roman was walking down and it was looking like a goddamn Marvel movie when him coming out, I think right at that moment I started to make peace with the fact that we were cooked.
Yeah. Well, and that's incredibly cool that you guys were there for the end of one moment and the beginning of another. You know, it was the end of that chapter of Roman's story and the end / beginning of Cody's story, which is very cool. Very, very cool that you guys were there at this most pivotal moment in WWE history.
Yeah, that's where that kind of like reason, I was like, you know what? It was cool to be there for the end of a run that we're probably never going to see anything like until maybe you and I are old and gray.
Yeah, but, I doubt we'll see something like that again in mine and Rob's lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So again, there was something, you know, it's my favorite guy. There was something poetic about being there. And that's why I was sitting there and not trying to beat the traffic and just kind of watching there. And, you know, through the misty eyes, just looking at the ring, looking at. And then I look up at the ramp and I see, you know, two guys just hugging it out. And I'm just like, yeah, me too, man. Me too.
I'm there with you guys. So, because I'm old and these things are important to me.
Sorry, what?
I'm old and these things are important to me. How was the bathroom availability in your seating area? Like, I'm always worried about that when I go to big venues or big concerts and things like that. Like, okay, I'm probably getting, especially if I'm having a drink or two, I'm going to have to pee at some point. How accessible was the bathroom?
I was in and out.
I didn't, because it was another reason I was ready to go, because I didn't really eat much in the stadium. So,
okay. You were hungry. That's
why I was ready to go.
You were hungry.
That's
funny.
Because when we were going in, Jason and Emily, they got in line, when the cassette in line for some food. And just from walking up all them damn steps, I was about to collapse. So...
You know what? Jason and Em do all these things. They run all these places. They eat all these places. They do all this stuff. I think Jason and Emily secretly won, like, the lottery, like, 5 years ago, and they're not telling anybody.
We learned the secrets. You know, we split. You know, it's really, like, little secrets, like, split a plate. Don't get two things when you go to, like, for instance, when you go to one of those marketplaces that we're talking about. Split something, and then to get something and split something else.
That's what Tina and I do when we go out.
It's cheaper, and you get to try more shit, the more important part. You get to try more stuff, and you're not full. So it's not – we're not, you know, we're not millionaires, but we know how to travel.
And so then, I mean, just being there for that, I mean, it really was something else, you know.
And also, like, not for nothing, the cash in for Damian, and then, you know, Bailey, as you know, that was as storybook as you get. We knew the finish line, the finish before the show even started, but it was still cool to be there. It was just like soak in that moment.
Yeah, Bailey and EO was definitely a, like, you knew what the outcome was going to be. That's definitely a bell to bell thing. Like, they delivered so well from bell to bell that you let it slide that you already know how this is going to end.
Yeah, and then I guess that's it. Unfortunately, you know, that was at the point where I was like, okay, it's too fucking cold on this place.
Yeah, you're ready to get it moving here.
Yeah, because everybody. I hate women's wrestling, so I didn't want to.
I had a fire in my heart because, you know, when Rob was getting ready to leave and it was cold, I had a fire in my heart because I had seen the greatest crossroads ever delivered by any human being ever, and it wasn't Cody Rhodes.
Oh, God, it was so good.
Yeah. And, the Logan Paul, the triple threat match was really fun to see watching the building. And
yeah,
because, man, just when Randy kicked the dude in the prime ball and the top came off the
He kicked the shit out of him too, man. But I also think that's because that dude shoved him. Like, you watch it, he legit shoved Randy, and Randy's like, excuse me? So he went full This Is Sparta on his ass. I'm going to cash in a receipt on you, young man. Yeah. That's good stuff. All right, well.
We got back to the hotel, and I think we all kind of crashed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, so that morning, like, well, you guys were going to some type of thing or something. I forget what it was, but you guys did wrong.
We left pretty early because we were going to try to see the eclipse at certain things, like at certain intervals along our drive home. But it was goddamn overcast everywhere. Tried to stop.
Well, I saw the eclipse I needed to see Friday night when Athena won, retained the Ronald Reagan title. Okay, that was all the eclipse I needed.
That was Rob's eclipse.
So, and this was funny. Going home on the train. All right, so when I went up there, the trip up there, I got coach, right? So you just sit wherever, right? You go to the coach car and you sit wherever. And coming home, I got on the business class, but I didn't realize it. I just got a ticket or whatever, right? So now I sit down in the seat and I'm like, oh shit, this is assigned seating. Like, let's hope nobody comes and wants this. Let's hope this is not anybody's seat. Right? And
oh no.
So the whole time I'm just sitting there like, please don't nobody come here. Please don't nobody come. I don't want to get up. And thankfully nobody came to sit there. So,
oh good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So then I got home, went and picked up Kitty from the Pets Hotel, and all of that. But yeah, man, it was such a fun time and a fun trip. And I'm glad I went because again, first of all, nobody knows what the future holds. When you have your shot to do these things, you take them.
Yep.
So I'm glad I did. And we had a really good time.
It was good to see you, partner.
Yeah, man. Yes. Yes. It was. It was good to see you guys too, man.
Well, one day I'm going to get up there with you guys. I promise it's going to happen.
Well, I feel like we're all in like wrestling somewhat hubs. So I feel like we just got to pull the trigger on where it's going to be, whether it's, Florida, the tri-state area or whatever you call it. What do you call it? The D what?
They call it
the DMV.
Yeah, there's a whole history behind that. It's just kind of whack. It's that's a name that like people don't actually live around here, David.
Okay.
Well, you can come up here to Beantown, which nobody from here calls it. Or we could go down to the DMV, or we could always go down to Florida. I hear they like wrestling down there.
Yeah, we're a hotbed. Florida is. I don't know that we have any place big enough in Florida to do a wrestling. Well, they did WrestleMania in Miami several years ago. So maybe Miami, definitely not Orlando. I think the Amway Center, or I'm sorry, the Kia Center, as Jason corrected me a few days ago. Uh-huh. It's the Kia Center now. They're good for a Raw or a SmackDown, but it's too, maybe like a B level premium live event. But it's too small for WrestleMania. Tampa's a much better area.
Yeah, but you get the NXT House Food Show loop.
Yeah, unless they end up going to Vegas, which is now being speculated heavily, which is going to piss me off because I love my NXT House Show loop.
I could see them keeping it just as some sort of like property gym. Yeah. Even if they move the big stuff to Vegas, I could see them keeping the Performance Center.
Yeah. We can discuss that on another episode. You guys got anything more from your WrestleMania experience?
It was great, man. And I would just tell anybody, if you ever get the chance to go.
So I've seen my favorite guy lose the main event twice, and I still would not regret it. I would not change it for the world. Like, go. It's so much fun.
All right. Well, we are going to call the go home there. I'm going to wrap back around the room here, introduce and thank my co-hosts, starting with, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer, hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window, Jason. Sir, fun night tonight.
Beautiful night. Glad to get the band back together again. I feel like, we all put on the tactical vest and put somebody through a table.
We absolutely did, and the Skype gods trembled in fear tonight as this whole show went off without a hitch. The Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir. Thank you guys, both of you, for sharing your story. I'm insanely jealous, as I've repeatedly told you guys, but it's cool to hear, the boots on the ground side of things.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. It's always good to be back here, and thank God that the Skype thing did not act up this week.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just, man, it was so much fun to do. I'm glad I did it. And,
You're welcome, Rob. You said, thank you for bullying me, Jason. So you're welcome,
thank
Rob.
Thank you, Jason, for not letting me just give up on it. Thank you, Dwayne, for coming back and giving me more incentive to do it. And thank you, WWE, for at least giving me the opportunity to meet the 14-time women's champion again, even though she wasn't wrestling that year.
Hey, you gotta take the good with the bad, Rob.
So. Yep.
And I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Again, you've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Remember to always use your head. And remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are back next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.